I kind of wanted to follow up on what Kerry and particularly what Colin talked about last week about it was like the big picture with Abraham was God is good and he wants to bless the world and he wants to bless us and he wants us to join in with him to change the world, to make it a better place. And that sounds good. Let's get going then. Let's do that. But, hang on a minute. I'm not sure exactly what that means for me. You know, what's my part in that specifically? And, I don't know. You know, I don't know whether I've got anything to offer that big enterprise. So what does it look like for us? And how do we discover that? I suppose is my message for today. Are we looking for an adventure, actually? Jesus said that he came to rescue the world, not criticise it. That's my translation of John 3:17. He also said that he was giving us a new commandment, to love one another, because if we did that everyone would know that we were his disciples. Everyone would know that we were part of this adventure, of Jesus' adventure. And that's not to judge people and make them feel excluded, but that is to love them and offer them encouragement and acceptance and to rescue the world to make it a better place. So it seems the way we live and get on together is a very important thing. Firstly, the way we live as individuals, our direction, our values, being open and teachable, and not comparing ourselves with others, which I think can be a big hindrance to us. I wanted to read you Galatians 5, 25 and 26, I think it is, from The Message. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. So how we live as individuals, but also the way we live in community, not just church community, but uni, work, neighbours. I've recently come across a really encouraging community. I've started doing park run. And Park Run, if you've not heard of it, is an open-to-anybody event on a Saturday morning in a local park. And you can run, jog, walk on your own with a child, with a dog, with a buggy. I joined in with a group of people who were going to walk around for a walk over cancer thing, a charity thing. And I enjoyed it so much I decided to do it again. And now, I've never done anything like this. I was the one at school that everyone laughed at in PE lessons. I've never run anywhere. But everyone is so encouraging at Park Run. There's no judgment. Nobody minds if you're really slow. Everybody just smiles and says, well done. It's brilliant. And so walking around in that kind of encouraging environment made me think, oh, yeah, well, maybe I could do this again. You know, maybe this. I'm also doing Couch to 5K. And that's to try and get a bit fitter so I can get round Park Run a little bit faster. Because, you know, I'm usually last. Well, I was. Couch to 5K is a free NHS app that gradually gets you from a total couch potato, which I absolutely was, to running 5K. And I should say I'm taking it very slowly. Pete's getting through it a lot faster than me. But now I can jog for 5 minutes. Now, that might not sound much to you young fit things, but I've never done that. I mean, when I was supposedly young and fit and 12, 13, 14 at school, never in a million years would I ever have jogged for 5 minutes. So to do it now, 40-odd years later, is quite an adventure for me. Park Run's incredibly popular. 300 people do it in Maidenhead in Braywick Park, and there are people doing it all over the world. And the points I want to pull out of that experience that I've had with it really are that, number one, it's incredibly attractive culture. That people are continually new people getting involved with it because it's just the trademark of this whole activity is that it's total encouragement, no judgment, just acceptance at whatever stage you're at. they just pleased to see you. And that really makes you want to be part of it. And the second thing is that the way that the smallest decision can make such a difference to our lives, to our path. If somebody said to me, even in a nice, kind and encouraging way, "Oh, you know, park run's lovely, you should do park run," I would just laughed at them. And the thought of doing something like catch the 5K was just like, even though I knew other people had done it, I was always like, "Oh no, I could never do that." But because somebody said, "Oh, we're just going to do this charity walk. It'll be less than an hour, and we're just going to walk around," I was thought, "Yeah, well, yeah, I could do that." And so it didn't feel like a big deal. So I said yes to that, and here I am, a couple of months later, jogging three times a week, which is bizarre, really. But it's just that little—it's that little decision. I suppose that's what I want to say. You know, sometimes it's just those little decisions that you make that actually end up opening a door for something else. I'm never going to be a great runner. Some of us are just naturally better at some things than others, and that's fine. We are all different. We're all original, as it says in that Galatians passage. And it's good to know what our strengths are. It's good to discover our passions. It's good to analyse our personality type. Pete and I have done a lot of workshops and stuff with all that over the years, and it can be helpful. I think it's helpful even if it only tells us what other people are like and helps us to get along with other people, because you kind of realise that other people are different and have different strengths and different ways of doing things. I would like to recommend a book at this point, which is called How to Be a Bad Christian and a Better Human Being. It's by a guy called Dave Tomlinson, who you may have heard of. He's a vicar. Actually, he's just retired, but he was a vicar in North London. But he comes out of a new church background. And, it's full of stuff. It's full of interesting stories about just ordinary people who have just done some pretty amazing things. And there's quite a lot of resources and stuff in there and ideas for doing stuff and helping out. He also talks about doing a vocational audit, which is basically finding out what your strengths are, you know, what your personality is, what kind of thing you like to do, and so maybe, you know, getting some ideas about what your next adventure might be. At Harvard, there's two guys, professors, and they run a course, an elective course for postgrads called Designing Your Life. And it's basically a course about finding out what you'd like to be when you grow up. But it's for grown-ups. And it grew to be an extremely popular course. And other professors at Harvard and senior staff ended up going to this course. And in the end, they've written a book and they've done TED Talks. You might have heard of them, you might have seen it. What they found is that most people's lives don't run on straight lines. One of the recommendations is to find people who are doing what you think you'd like to do and go and buy them a coffee and talk to them, maybe join in with what they're doing for a bit. That may confirm your choice, but it may also make you realise that actually it's not what you want to do after all, and people change their mind. Many people end up working in fields that have very little to do with their sort of main subject at university or what they were studying. And all those senior staff and other professors coming to the course, you think they'd know what they wanted to be. So you think they would already made it, really. But it just goes to show that you may reach middle age or older and have a successful career, or it could be church ministry, but still be wondering if there might be something else around the corner, another adventure to go on. I think Pete and I are hoping we might have another adventure in us somewhere. we were talking about God opening doors. Jesus said, "I am the door." And we were talking about that in small group. And it struck us as we were talking how often things just turn up kind of out of the blue. Call it serendipity or providence or divine intervention. And it's amazing when you talk to people and they've got a story of a door unexpectedly opening. We were just doing our thing, moseying along, and suddenly somebody mentions something or asks us to do something, or we get a message or a phone call and boom, you know, there's a major life change. I enjoyed sciences at school, and all those years ago we didn't have careers advice. So I just thought, biology and chemistry are my two best subjects, I'll do biochemistry. And my chemistry teacher, who'd worked in industry, he was a lovely guy, and he knew what it was like. And he said, what are you applying for? And I said, oh, biochem. He said, I can't really see you working in a lab all day. He said, what would you really like to do? And I said, well, what I'd really like to do is work behind the counter in Rackham's selling lipstick. And Rackham's was the Harrods store in those days, big department store in the middle of Birmingham. And it was very glamorous. I loved it. I just loved the place. And I loved the idea of doing that. Might sound a bit that. Anyway, he said to me, well, why don't you do pharmacy? He said, because then you can sell lipsticks and use your chemistry at the same time. And I kind of went, oh, yeah, fine. So I went away, tore all my forms up, started applying for pharmacy. I hadn't got a clue, really, what I was doing. I didn't really know anything about it. But he knew me well, and it was wise advice. So that little conversation, that one short conversation, led to my 40-odd-year career in pharmacy. So, but life's like that, isn't it? Sometimes it's just a small thing, one conversation, one thing that might just kind of lead to something that's actually quite major. And it's the decisions, as Pete was saying, the decisions we make that can make the difference. We were talking about Richard Emmett was talking about getting his present job. He said, it's okay for me to share this. He was thinking of changing. Somebody saw his CV. And within 3 days, he'd been interviewed, accepted, and he's now in the job which he's doing, which is in Englefield Green. And that's such a blessing to him, to be working actually in the village, just like walking distance from where he lives. And my younger daughter, Katie, she did a fashion degree. Several of you know Katie. She ended up working at a party wall surveyors. It was kind of an admin job, really. She just went for this admin job. But the woman who ran the business said she knew other people with fashion degrees who'd ended up as party wall surveyors. It's bizarre, but it's true. And that's why Katie's CV had caught her attention. So Katie trained as a party wall surveyor and now has her own business after doing a fashion degree. Who'd have thought it? It was, you know, just that small thing, just that woman looking at that CV and just doing, it's kind of total change of direction, a total different adventure, really. So the point is, I suppose, to be in the right frame of mind, facing the right direction, so that when those doors open, you know whether to step through or not, you know whether to go for it or not. And so I didn't say that you're in the perfect place, because I don't think we usually are. And I didn't say that you always have to say yes to everything, because sometimes it's probably best not to. But to be in an encouraging community where you can share with other people, where you can chat, where you can be open and honest about you know, what people are up to, that's a big advantage, I think, when you're trying to make decisions like that and when you get into these situations. People often talk about goals, and I'm not sure that's always helpful. There are things that need to be done step by step, and goals are good. They have a measurable outcome, like paying off a debt or getting fitter or passing an exam or something, those kind of things. But I don't think God's bothered or thinks we're people he doesn't want much to do with if we don't read our Bible every day, or if we, you know, we're not spending hours in prayer or whatever. And some people make that goal and then they get condemned because they don't actually kind of live up to it. God loves us and he wants us to be his friend, to join in with him in this adventure of life. He accepts us and wants to encourage us, even on our worst days. I've got a feeling that God really loved Park Run. And there's also a phrase going around, becoming all we were meant to be. And again, that troubles me a bit. How do we know when we've achieved that? Who decides what that looks like? Meant to be according to whom? How do we cope if we feel we'll never achieve that? I'm just, you know, sometimes you just hear these things and they sound great and then you think, well, actually, not so sure. It's best in my experience to learn to deal gracefully with our own and each other's vulnerabilities and failures. That's the encouragement. We all love spending time with people who just accept us for who we are. That's the environment of authenticity and grace and healing that I was talking about earlier, that we need, really. We are called to change the world. And some people do that in remarkable ways. Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, all those things. Most of us will do it in smaller ways, but everything counts. Nobody's perfect. And if somebody's giving you the impression that they're perfect, they're hiding something. That's my phone. But don't count yourself out of God's adventure. He's not looking for perfect. God uses us in our brokenness, when we can accept our own story, love ourselves, forgive ourselves, even smile when we look back at some of the stuff we wish we hadn't got involved in. We're only human, after all. Jesus asked us to love God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And can you see how important it is to love ourselves? Obviously not in a silly narcissistic way, but when we can be open and honest with others, not fearful, when we can accept ourselves with all our faults, not trying to pretend we don't have any faults, but not making them more important than they actually are, then aren't we going to be better at accepting and encouraging each other? So, the culture of authenticity and grace grows, and more people learn to love themselves and God and others, and the circle gets bigger. And lo and behold, we are changing the world, making it a better place, without even really realising it. You may be a history maker, the next Martin Luther King, and if you are, you go for it. But even if you feel that's not you, actually we are all making history every day in our own way. I've left some slips of paper on the tables, actually, because I love this quote from Leonard Cohen. Ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything, but that's how the light gets in. We're going to take bread and wine together in a minute, and we're going to bring it to the tables. So you can just ponder that thought. Any other thoughts you've had this morning while you've been watching this lovely... I love those birds. While you've been watching this lovely video. Pray for each other. And just have a chat.